My mother never dash me way. Your mother never dash you way. So make the baby born, make the baby enjoy life for that me say. Where the baby mother them? We love them son and love them daughter, yeah. It's the true story, pimpin.
Hey listeners, and welcome to another episode of Talks with Trishani, where controversy is our main dish. Today we'll be continuing with the abortion series with episode 2. Now, last week we spoke on the definition of abortion, moral subjectivity, and when does life begin. This week we'll be speaking on the right to choose, what society and religion has to say, moral realism, and the laws. I'm Trishana Douglas.
And I'm Keishani Virgo.
Keep listening, it's going to be a very exciting. So, as it relates to the right to choose to get an abortion, to not get an abortion, is it up to the mother? Is it up to the parents? Is it up to the caretakers? Is it up to the doctor? And does the fetus get a say? Can the fetus have a say in all of this? Now, you know that around the world at abortion centers, there's always a protest, and they're always pro-lifers. Is it pro-lifers?
Yeah.
Who are saying, don't get an abortion, there are other methods and means. But is it their right to choose whether or not the mother should terminate the pregnancy? Is it the mother's right to choose? We know that there is a thing going on in the 21st century where it's my body, my choice. And that would lead us to think that it is the mother's choice, the host, the body that is carrying the fetus. And does the doctor who is performing the surgery, do they have a choice, right? So what are your thoughts, Kay? Who ultimately has the upper hand, and why do you think they have the upper hand? Also, does the fetus get to choose? Can the fetus choose?
Ultimately, for instance, in the case of single mothers, I think the mother has the right to choose. If, however, there is or the mother is in a committed relationship, her partner or husband or whoever can give their input also, because at the end of the day, the fetus is a product of their creation, both persons' creation. But ultimately, I think the host has the final say, because we should really consider that not every woman wants to have children or wants to go through that process of having children. And I think that decision should be respected on the basis that they take the necessary precaution not to get pregnant, and also proceed with termination before the fetus becomes developed, because there is a thin line, you know, with terminating a pregnancy when it is within the safe period and going over when the fetus starts to develop a heartbeat, a brain, you know, when they can feel pain. There is a thin line, and I think that should be considered. The persons who are protesting, the pro-lifers, I do not know how does what one does with their own body becomes anybody else's concern. Right. How does it, why does it affect you so much? Why?
Right. But on the other hand, on the flip side, I have a question for you. A woman, she wants to have children, she wants to go through the process of being pregnant, but her doctor is saying to her, if it is that you carry this baby full term, then you might not be able to survive. Who has the choice now?
And
is it the woman's choice, or is it the doctor's choice?
That is her choice. And you see, you know, this lady is going to put her life on the line for the unborn child. And yes. I do not see any protest or any widespread protest that says preserve lives, do not have a child when you know this or that. There's not that. They're okay with that. They say, okay, we're going to bring a child, whatever. And it still is her choice, just as if a woman decides that she doesn't want to bring a child for whatever reason and does a termination in the respected period. It is the same with a woman who she said, okay, she wants to bring a child into this world. Even though there is a significant risk, they are going to run that risk because at the end of the day, that is what she wants. Just like a pregnant woman who doesn't want the child, abortion is what she wants. Her body, her choice. It is literally her choice.
At the end of the day, even though the doctor could be a moral advisor and your parents and your spouse, it is your choice.
Yeah.
Okay, let us backtrack a bit. I don't know if our listeners remember when we were speaking on euthanasia, and I think it was in Canada. Once you are at the age of 6 years old, you, as the child, have the choice. As a child who, for whatever reason, finds themselves in a situation where they are pregnant, who has the choice? Is it the doctor? Or is it the parents? We're limiting it to the doctor and the parents. No outside forces, right? Who has the choice to say, because remember, this child is 10, this child is 12. What do they know about pregnancy? They know what they are told. They know what they see in mass media, on Instagram, on the Snapchat stories, on My Teenage Pregnancy, those reality movies. Who has the choice in that case where a child is carrying a baby?
And that's tricky. That is such a tricky scenario and a tricky question. But I think the best route that we could go in solving this case is analyzing the facts of it all. Analyzing if the child has an abortion, what are the effects? If the child has carried the pregnancy, what are the effects? What are the long-term effects? Is her body ready to carry that child? And we also have to look at the circumstances under which the child became pregnant. Who impregnated the 10-year-old child? That's the first question. Under what circumstances was this child impregnated? Because if the child is a product of rape, then I don't want to say executive decision, but I think that to kind of give that child even
a fresh start or
a chance at a better childhood, moving away from the trauma, I don't think it would be fair for anyone, including the parents, to say that the child should carry that pregnancy.
Totally understood. And now we're going to go to what does society or religion or culture has to say. Because we know that around the world, society always has so much to say on everything, but nothing at all, right? Okay, so when religious positions on abortion are discussed, we usually hear how abortion is condemned and regarded as murder. And we know this, and that it is important to understand that religious traditions differ, because every religion has something else to say, and abortion is not something very simple. You know, it is not black and white. There are many gray areas, there are many loopholes, there are many patches where we have to take a step back and think, in this instance, what would be the greatest good, right? What would be best for the mother to be, what would be best for the society as a whole, what will be best for the child, that if it is the case that the child would be
carried to term,
right? So abortion is a serious ethical issue And it's only natural that most major religions would have something to say on the issue, even if it's only indirectly, right?
Right.
Now, opponents of abortion will be quick to point out those aspects of religious traditions which somehow condemn or prohibit abortion. But we must keep in mind the very obvious fact that abortion has been practiced in every single society and as far back as we have historical records. No matter how strong the condemnations of abortion have been, they have never stopped women from seeking them. And you know, when women are condemned for having abortion, this leads them into not having safe abortions, you know.
Right.
Everybody knows about the Pepsi and Rusty Nail and the Hannah and stuff like that, right?
And
so
that's...
I do believe... Look, as you were saying, as you were saying.
And that is the thing, because the government and these bodies really think that... if they put restrictions on abortion, making it illegal and making there be having consequences to the act, they think that the rate at which abortions happen will go down. And they don't look at it that when they make it illegal, it's not that they are stopping abortion, they are stopping safe abortion. Because while we have the pill and while we can have it surgically removed by a medical professional, when they make it illegal to have an abortion, they put more fetuses at risk, they put more persons at risk, because persons,
right,
they don't realize that
they're seeking out other ways.
Yes,
right,
desperation causes all sorts of craziness, desperation cause, and that's when you find fetus through all boats and put there. And abortions, making abortions illegal does not put a stop to it. It puts a stop to it being done safely. Bottom line.
Right. And most religions don't appear to regard abortion as murder because they don't ascribe the exact same moral status to the fetus as they do to the mother or even to a newborn infant. So it seems as if the mother is on a higher level. The life of the mother is regarded as more important than the life of the fetus. However, much abortion might be treated as a sin and immoral, it still does not generally rise to the same level of religious morality as killing an adult. And that brings us into moral realism. But before we go to moral realism, let us talk about what society has to say, because we all know that in certain societies, women that have abortions, especially if it is illegal in that place, they are looked down upon because they say, oh, you swallow your kidney or your dastard belly, this is a third. And persons look down on you and they treat you as less than. And sometimes it is not even about dastard belly or swallow your baby, but it's about the socioeconomic part of it. Because if you are not able to feed yourself and you are living below the poverty line, and by some means you get pregnant and you choose not to bring your child in poverty, so you seek out methods to find an abortion, does that make you a bad person, right? Does that make it wrong?
And I think
for you not to be selfish,
persons are not looking at it, so they're looking at it in a way where if it's right, it's right, and if it's wrong, it's wrong. They're not looking at it that there are different factors that contribute to this. And some may say, in response to the socioeconomic factor that you brought in, they might say, if that's the case, why them no? Why them not wrap up before them going and this and that? But people need to understand that no content...
Mistakes happen. Anything happens. Even condoms are not 100% effective.
Even birth control is 100% effective.
Right.
And these things fail. And I think the stigma that society associates, even though we're kind of moving away from that right now, but I remember even when Carter sing the song about my mother never dash away, your mother never dash away, enough people that sing song about dash away in Jamaica, and there was a certain stigma that was associated with persons who had abortions, and it's like they were ridiculed and they were mocked and jeered.
They were
like, oh, see the dash your belly girl there. See the all of them something there, baby duppy they follow you. All of them have something there they had.
Right. And if I call them baby cemeteries or something. But you know, if we take a step back, right, and not look at it from the society's point of view or religious point of view or even the legal point of view, it takes bravery. It really takes a lot of bravery to know in yourself that, okay, this might have happened, but I want better for my child, and I want better for this person that I am going to bring to the world, if I'm going to bring to the world. So I'm going to make the executive decision as the host, as the mother to be, as the one that is carrying this fetus, to not do so, because I don't want my fetus to maybe to struggle in the ways that I have or the ways that will happen because of X, Y, and Z. It takes a great amount of strength to step back and to just analyze the whole situation and make that decision. And in today's society, across the board, across the world, there are always people who are going to look down on you if you carry the baby into poverty, and look down on you if you don't. So I do feel like at the end of the day, the mother, in consultation with her doctor, have to make the best decision for the greater good.
And to add to that, when we're looking at teenage pregnancy also, if the teenager decides to bring her pregnancy, you know, society gonna have something to say. And if she decides to abort the pregnancy, society is going to have something to say. Whichever one you choose, society will have something to say. So sometimes we have to take a look back, and we have to look at our life and analyze our situation outside of what society has to say, and then make a decision based on our specific circumstances. Because when you look at it, we have to realize that life is not a one-size-fits-all. What is good for me might not be good for you. And it's that we have to look at and tailor circumstances, or tailor options to fit our own circumstances. And people are looking at it as if we all have this one life, and whatever one person does, it will also work out for everybody else. Because my friend can have a child, she can decide to, okay, she's going to keep the child, and she gets all the support she needs from her family and whatever. Then me and Naomi can decide to, okay, I'm pregnant, I'm going to keep a child. When you look, bop, I get kicked out, bop, I have no support, bop, all kind of things start at me. Because what? I made a decision based on what I saw, instead of tailoring my decision to fit my circumstances. And that's what we have to do as humans.
We really have to make the hard decisions. Mm-hmm. And this brings us to moral realism and how this is in conjunction with abortion. So moral realism is basically statements about what actions are morally permissible, and statements about what dispositions or character traits are morally virtuous or vicious, are objectively true or false according to how they correspond with the fact of morality. And this theory basically says morality is like a set of laws. Mm. So it is wrong to kill, it is wrong to murder, it is good to be virtuous, it is good to be kind. But when we're speaking on this, we have to realize that abortion isn't a one-size-fits-all process. So when we're trying to apply moral realism to abortion, we are in this area of disconnect, because we have to factor in age, we have to factor in health, we have to factor in socioeconomic factors, we have to factor in what society has to say, because whether or not we like to acknowledge it, society, culture, and religion are, they shape us, who we mm-hmm. are, what we think.
That's true.
How we carry ourselves and the decisions we make. So in this instance, moral realism, I do not believe that it can be applied to abortion
mm-hmm.
unless there's going to be this one size fits all rule and law.
And
right?
We all know that that cannot be. We all know that.
And that is never the case with morality.
It's never going
to happen. Right. All right. So let's transition into the laws. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the most exciting part where everybody has their opinions. So let me just give you guys a little overview. The laws on abortion can say whether it is permitted or not, permitted or prohibited. And the laws are based on a set of specific features mm-hmm. and right circumstances. So they can be based on to save a woman's life, to preserve physical or mental health, and on the basis of socioeconomic grounds. Also, it can be on the basis of rape and incest. So in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
Abortion is legal on the basis of rape, incest, and the physical well-being of the mother-to-be, of the carrier. In Canada, abortion is fully legal. In Russia, in Russia, it is legal up to 22 weeks. I know that Russia is one of the larger countries. And I don't know, I didn't know this before I was doing my research, but Russia leads the world in the number of abortions, safe abortions, safe legal abortions annually. And I do believe that we have to give a clap to Russia a little for, you know, for putting in place the laws and for having such an organized structure and system that not only caters to the host of the fetus, but also to their physical and mental rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. However, in Dominican Republic and Haiti, abortion is prohibited altogether. It does not matter whether it is rape, incest, it will not preserve your physical health. It is prohibited. And as you were speaking on earlier, this leads many women to seek out abortion in illegal ways.
And this is also
right?
the case.
Illegal, unhealthy mm-hmm. ways.
And this is also the case in Honduras, where abortion is illegal in all circumstances, including rape, incest, when a woman's life is in danger, and when the fetus can't survive outside the womb. The government also bans emergency contraceptive, the morning after pill, as I was talking about, which is used to prevent pregnancy mm-hmm. after unprotected sex or a contraceptive failure. So if they ban abortion, even on the basis the fetus can't survive outside of the womb, What is the basis on which they say that they are stopping abortion? Because the common basis is, oh, it's murder, or oh, we're preserving life. It is evident that the fetus can survive outside the womb, even if it's brought to term. So what's the point?
An example of moral realism.
What is the point?
In Honduras, abortion is immoral. And they have found a way to, regardless of its harm on humans and on the society,
mm-hmm.
they have found a way to say abortion is wrong, abortion is immoral, and based on the moral realism theory, we're going to say it is prohibited on all bases. And not only that, they took the step further to prohibit any form of contraceptives, any form of, you know, trying to prevent a birth. And with this, it really seems as if the only form of quote-unquote contraceptive is staying celibate.
Mm-hmm.
And many persons can argue on whether or not this is a good thing and what it promotes, if it promotes safer sex. But
it doesn't
subjective.
It doesn't, because in Honduras, 30,000 adolescents ages 10 to 19 give birth each year.
Wow.
Majority of them are unwanted. and unplanned.
Wow.
I find it so counterproductive, and I don't even want to say it's funny, but it is so counterproductive that in the bid to preserve life, they are essentially ruining lives. Because imagine, I am pregnant, and the doctor says, okay, you're pregnant, but hear what? Your baby has no chance of surviving once it is born, but you still have to bring it. Can you imagine based the emotional, psychological, physical, mental trauma? Can you imagine?
Correct.
It's
because you're carrying the baby for 9 months, you know, you're going to have some sort of attachment,
right?
Regardless of it being outside of your body and you having to interact with it, you're going to have some form of attachment. And just knowing that, regardless of carrying the baby full term and doing everything right as a mother to be, the baby just won't survive. I do believe that it is counterproductive.
Yes, not only that, but... not only that, the pregnancy could be terminated from the brain was developed and the fetus could feel pain. It could be terminated from, it was simply a ball of tissue before it was developed. Instead, to adhere to or to I have to say prove a point, because I don't see what else would be a logical explanation. Instead of doing the abortion at that point, where it's simply a ball of tissue, they make the fetus develop into a full-blown human being, knowing that as soon as the fetus exits the womb, it will die. They subject it to a cruel fate, a harsh death, because at that point...
And who gives them the right to choose?
Who gives them the right to say, okay, the fetus, you know it's going to die, but still, bring it anyways.
Yeah. I do feel like in many situations, as we are speaking on controversial topics, the institutions and the powers that be, I do feel like at heart, they might have the best interest, but when they are setting certain laws and regulations, it is not for the greater good, because you have to account for the gray areas. You really do. And many of these laws, they don't. They just say one clear cut and one size fit all, which it doesn't. And we've been seeing for the past few weeks that one law or one clear cut rule does not fit all. And I do feel like there needs to be a lot of institutional reform with a lot of these laws, because some of these laws are from way back when, before there was such advance in technology, where you can safely remove a fetus without causing pain or trauma to either the mother or the ball of tissue, to either the mother or the developed fetus, right? I do believe that there needs to be a greater level of reform and research, and to just change up certain things, because having rules from before there was before there could be hot water coming out of your pipes, you get me? Having rules from such a time before there were phones that were portable, you get me? It just does not make any sense, in my opinion.
You said that you think they're making certain laws for the greater good. I don't think that a law like this is for the greater good, no. Because when you look at it, why are these laws being made, are being adjusted, or are being put forth with the majority of the lawmakers being men? We are the majority women. Who, if the conversation is about women and women's body, I think that
those are the women the conversation. Exactly. That is another thing.
I think that men always have so much to say about women and what we go through, And it's not from an educated place. It's from a place of ignorance, or I feel I know, or women can be going through so much. Because I've literally heard men who say that, no matter what, woman not dash your belly or whatever, whatever. Have they ever been through a pregnancy? Have they?
Right.
And the ones that say pregnancy not so bad, or we are exaggerating. Have they ever given birth? And when you look at
I feel that they are not making educated decisions.
And
in a conversation about women need to be in the conversation,
exactly.
Right?
That is exactly what I'm saying. And it seems to be coming from a more of a place of control, as with back in the day when women weren't allowed in politics and men were making all decisions, even decisions pertaining to women. I think it comes to a place of control where they realize that nowadays women are rising to the occasion, and the only way to have some form of hold over them still is to make laws that doesn't permit them to even exercise their free will over their own bodies. Because essentially,
right.
in places where abortions are illegal, basically we don't own our own bodies, our right to choose regarding our own body, even when our bodies were violated by men. And this
is a very important point to speak on.
This has been a
very tiring.
Heavy topic.
Right.
It's a heavy topic.
But it is important that persons are speaking out and speaking up about this. And I do hope that this podcast, the nature of it, will inspire many women to speak out. If it is not making a podcast, just a tweet or a post,
exactly,
or even at TikTok, you know, just to start the conversation and get the ball rolling and hearing what different women have to say, women who have been in the situation or seen other women in the situation, right? I do feel like it is important. And with this, we come to the end of the abortion
and
series,
which
I know that many of our listeners were looking forward
to. Wait a minute. Whoa. I was saying that not only the women, but we also implore the men to get more educated and join the conversation as well, speaking to your peers, right, and encouraging
in research,
them to learn more about women, the woman that you so love. Learn more about us, research about us, and lobby for us. Because believe it or not, your voices are loud. Your voices, when men start talking about women, it's just, it's like, the world stops and focuses on what they have to say. So help us.
Help
each other. Just do for us, please. So we have come to an end, as you were saying, the end now. And it has been a conversation.
Right.
It has been just thought-provoking and mind-boggling, but we did it and we have come to an end.
Learned something new.
And we hope you enjoyed, and we hope you...
And was inspired to start a conversation.
So
don't forget to fave the podcast, guys, and subscribe, leave a like, and engage with us on our social medias, right? We love to interact with our listeners. So tell us, what are your thoughts on abortion and what research has led you to find out? Until another time. Bye.
Call me, I tell her no fling it well. She still no bring it, yeah. She make her friend them influence her fi fling it well. And that must show me head. Call me a boy, we love my pick me them. She make her friend them influence her fi fling it well.